QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 19th, 2016. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. On tap for this month, we have Editor's Notes from Hurricane Matthew, IARU Region 2 Emergency Communications Workshop held in Chile, New Technologies for Emergency and Disaster Response discussed. Dual Exercises in Missouri, ARRL Field Day 2016, and Infrastructure Support Exercise. Texas Hams Drill with Public Safety in Major Exercise. Letters, CERT. Dress for Public Service Success. Tips, Net Protocols for Practice. And Third Annual Joint Tribal Emergency Management Conference held in ARRL San Joaquin Valley Section. First, we have Editor's Notes from Hurricane Matthew. Our Aries e-letter editor, Rick Palm, K1CE, wrote, "Earlier this month, a major Category 5 on the Saffir-Simpson hurricane wind scale, Hurricane Matthew, destroyed lives and property on its wicked path through the Caribbean and on up the southeast coast of the United States. The responses of many Aries and partner entities are documented in ARRL news stories. Many after-action reports noting lessons that were learned are expected in the weeks to come. The northern Florida coastline was heavily impacted by Matthew. The eye wall brushed Daytona Beach, where I live," says Rick Palm, "at around 1 p.m. Friday, October 7th, with wind and gusts that toppled large trees and ripped off shingles and roofs. The storm eroded beaches and took out coastal roads, such as historic Route A1A in Flagler County, just to the north of Daytona Beach, here in Volusia County. I rode out the storm at home, just 3 miles from the beach, which was not recommended, but I had an obligation to work at the city hospital, so I could not evacuate. While I was on battery power, I checked into the Volusia County Aries Net on the KV4 EOC repeater located at the large county EOC west of Daytona. Remarkably, the repeater never lost viability, and net control stations, although weary, performed flawlessly for the duration, taking and relaying reports of damage and logistical requests. The Daytona Beach City EOC, located at the city's police headquarters, checked into the net by its station N4DAB with operator Steve Zabo, the ARRL Northern Florida Section Manager, WB4OMM, at the helm. Mr. Zabo, a retired law enforcement officer, pulled 67 hours of duty there over the course of 4 days. He was able to monitor HF and VHF storm-related communications. Mr. Zabo told me, "What I heard was capable, professional net control operation and excellent cooperation by the amateur community at large in keeping those frequencies clear for safety of life communications. I suspect that this operator scenario was repeated hundreds of times throughout the storm-impacted areas. Please copy and send your after-action reports and lessons learned to k1ce@arrl.net for follow-up discussion in this newsletter. Thank you." IARU Region 2 Emergency Communications Workshop held in Chile, New Technologies for Emergency and Disaster Response discussed. The second IARU Region 2 Emergency Communications Workshop was held October 11, 2016, in Villa del Mar, Chile, in conjunction with the IARU Region 2 19th General Assembly. Sponsored by IARU Region 2 and the ARRL, the workshop was chaired by Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, and IARU Area BEC. Co-chair was Dr. Cesar Pio Santos, HR2P, IARU Region 2 EC. Topics covered the use of Winlink, Saturn support for Salvation Army disaster response, the role of ITU, developing operator and communications skills, AREDN mesh networking technology for disaster response, and emergency communications response in Venezuela. Goals included sharing information on amateur radio response to emergencies in the region and increasing the capacity for amateurs in Region 2 to respond to large-scale, multinational communication emergencies, to provide an opportunity for national-level amateur radio emergency communications leaders to network and increase the level of cooperation and collaboration within the IARU Region 2. Build upon topics and discussions from the previous emergency communications workshop and about specific events that transpired since the first workshop. For more information and photos from the workshop, please see the IARU Region 2 website at iaru-r2.org. Again, that's iaru-r2.org. We're going to pause now for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Please stand by. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 19th, 2016. And I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Next up is Dual Exercises in Missouri, ARRL Field Day 2016, and Infrastructure Support Exercise. The morning of June 25, 2016 presented a sweltering 86 degrees and rising, with humidity over 50%. This year, Field Day was a combined exercise of the St. Charles County, Missouri Aries, sponsored by the Emergency Communications Association of St. Charles County, or ECA, and the county's Division of Emergency Management, or DEM, under the County Police Department. ECA Aries and the DEM have enjoyed a long cooperative relationship for many years. In January, a new communications trailer project was rolled out, with the finished product tested extensively in June's dual exercises. The trailer, provided by the county police, was repainted, adorned with decals, and improved with air conditioning, radio benches, and windows. The trailer has five operating positions. Two positions are fitted with amateur radio VHF and UHF FM transceivers, with packet radio capability at one position. The third position is fitted with an amateur HF transceiver. Positions 4 and 5 are reserved for public safety systems. A computer network is installed with peripherals. A 6,500-watt generator powers the systems, along with a 12-volt battery backup system. Other communication assets carried on board include a grab-and-go kit containing HF and VHF UHF transceivers with accessories, a second grab-and-go kit for 2 meters, 4 roof-mounted antennas, an HF antenna for NVIS, or Near Vertical Incident Skywave, VHF and UHF dual-band antennas, and 2 push-up poles comprised the antenna complement. ECA and Aries members installed the electrical system, computer network, roof antennas, radios, the front-mounted push-up pole, and other assets to make the trailer a working mobile communications platform to be shared by ECA, DEM, and the county police. A week before Field Day, Emergency Management Division purchased a tower trailer, which was equipped with a 60-foot square telescoping tower, a 10-kilowatt diesel generator, and an equipment cabinet. The main purpose of the exercise, held in conjunction with Field Day, was to field test the new trailer, the tower trailer, and new equipment in a potential real-world infrastructure support role where communications is impacted by natural and man-made disasters. ECA and ARIES operators worked most of the states, provinces in Canada, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico over the field day weekend. Three antennas were demonstrated. A tri-band beam was mounted atop the 60-foot tower, and a dual-band 40 and 80 meters wire dipole was suspended from a standoff at the top of the tower. A multi-band NVIS antenna was also deployed and demonstrated. The County Police Department granted use of its media room at the department headquarters to run the second station. A 10-kilowatt generator powered the communications trailer station. The second station was battery-powered with generator backup. According to Bill Grimsbo, N0PNP, the District C District Emergency Coordinator and St. Charles County EC, in my 20-plus years with ARIES, I have never seen cooperation in any other county or city that compares with the levels of St. Charles County. The St. Charles County Division of Emergency Management and the County Police Department are true partners with ECA and ARIES in response and preparedness to a degree I've never experienced. ECA ARIES responds regularly to activations for severe weather, which is a regular occurrence in the St. Louis metropolitan area and outlying counties. The cooperative efforts of St. Charles County ARIES, ECA, and the DEM under the County Police has made our county a safer and more secure place to live, and we intend to continue these efforts into the future. Mr. Grimsbo also said, Field Day is a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate to the residents of our community what tools are being brought to bear by amateur radio operators as well as response professionals when we work together as a cohesive response asset in our county. Our thanks to William Grimsbo, N0PNP, the Missouri District C Emergency Coordinator, and St. Charles County Emergency Coordinator, and Jeff Young, KB3HF of St. Peters, Missouri, for this report. Please let us know if your repeater is airing, or if you are listening on your smartphone, to the audio version of the ARRL e-letter by sending an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. You may also find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching for ARRL. Thank you for your support. This is the ARRL ARIES Audio e-letter for October 19, 2016. And we're going to pause again for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Stand by. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Next we have Texas Hams Drill with Public Safety in Major Exercise. Williamson County, Texas ARIES members were integrated with the county's Emergency Communications, Office of Emergency Management, Sheriff's Office, and other partners for a planned full-scale exercise dubbed Basic Assessment of Interoperability of Telecommunications, or BAIT. The exercise was held on June 24th and 25th, just prior to ARRL Field Day 2016 at the County Park in Liberty Hill, Texas. All county emergency communications mobile assets were deployed to the park to simulate a complete failure of public safety communications infrastructure. The objectives included remotely dispatching public safety units within the county and integrating amateur radio communications into the process. The team of county telecommunications employees and amateur radio operators, under the direction of Incident Commander Lieutenant Aubrey Holmes, KG5FTD, began setting up base camp 2 days ahead of the exercise. ARIES members erected 4 portable blue sky masts and installed antennas covering HF bands. They set up an amateur HF station in the county's Regional Mobile Communications, or RMC, truck. Williamson County Communications Director Scott Parker, KE5OJC, established goals for the exercise, including having the resource unit maintain full accountability of resources and personnel on site, to monitor public safety resources remotely, and to dispatch fire, EMS, and law enforcement from the remote site. In addition to radio and antenna deployment, ARES members were tasked with setting up and operating a generator trailer and HF Go kits with PAC-DOR 3 capability to full functionality. Another goal was to deploy APRS systems to track assets on the park property in real time, creating breadcrumb trails showing where units had been. Part of the park lies in a river valley beneath a bluff that could inhibit radio transmission from the canyon. So ARES members set up a crossband repeater on the rim of the canyon and an APRS digipeater, enabling the Incident Command Team, or IMT, to reliably track SAR, or search and rescue, assets and communicate with them from the command post. Fire departments conducted the SAR maneuvers. Each team was outfitted with an APRS tracking device so leaders could monitor the progress of the search. The digipeater successfully relayed tracker information to the command post. 29 Williamson County ARES, also known as WC ARES, members filled many of the Incident Command System command and general staff positions on the IMT. Seasoned IMT members provided guidance upon request, but ARES personnel functioned at a high level. WC ARES Emergency Coordinator Terry Jones, K5LGV, served as Operations Section Chief, and John Peek, KF5ZMD, served as Planning Section Chief. Other ARES operators exercised skills they would need if they were ever called upon to fill dispatch positions in the public safety environment, as well as all the technical skills required for a remote communications operation. Communications vehicles outfitted with amateur HF radios were sent out to surrounding counties with ARES members operating the radios. They tested coverage without using repeaters to confirm the ability to get traffic from a 100-mile radius. Band conditions were less than optimal, and yet successful contacts were completed after mobile antenna configurations were modified. Planning began 2 months prior to the event, with weekly meetings involving all key players. Once players were identified and assigned, work began on producing an event action plan. An exercise of this magnitude involves a host of logistics to get equipment in place and provide for necessary services needed by personnel. Planners knew that environmental conditions would be extreme, with temperatures near 100 degrees, so keeping personnel hydrated was a concern. Meeting nutritional needs of such a large staff was challenging. The Salvation Army brought their canteen truck to the site and provided lunch for the participants. Williamson County Communications had already provided a trailer for ARES use, outfitted with dual-band radios, HF capability, and 800 MHz trunking public safety radios. The WC ARES personnel remodeled the trailer, turning it into a two-room communications center. This platform provided a second air-conditioned operating position. The Capital Area Trauma Regional Advisory Council, or CATRAC, participated by providing an RV trailer for the check-in point and a box trailer with a 45-kilowatt generator that became a 2-meter packet and HF PAC-DOR operating position. CATRAC also provided and set up an air-conditioned drash tent for the command team that was used for a GOTA station during field day activity. The Travis County Radio Emergency Associated Communications Team, or REACT, provided their robotics solo quadcopter for aerial surveys and for search and rescue. On Saturday, June 25th, the operation transitioned to field day activities. all taking place in the air-conditioned comfort of the equipment set up for the exercise. A Williamson County Commissioner, County Parks Director, and County Public Information Officers visited the base camp and observed the exercise in operation. At one point on Saturday, there were 74 people on site, including visitors and participants. The ARRL South Texas Section Manager, Lee Cooper, W5LHC, visited the site and observed the exercise. Local television station KXAN came to the base camp, and local newspapers also provided media coverage. At the end of field day, all equipment was taken down, packed, and returned to service. WC Aries board member Jonathan Estill, AF5DF, said, "I didn't expect APRS to be a big part of field day, but I became an expert in configuring several trackers used during the exercise." Williamson County Aries is extremely grateful to Williamson County Emergency Communications for giving our members the opportunity to participate and learn from such a complex exercise. Thanks to Ken Malgren, K7MAL in Williamson County, Texas, for this report. We're going to pause again for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL, Aries Audio E-Letter, for October 19th, 2016. Now, letters. CERT. Roger Wines, W5WIA, the ARRL South Texas Section Assistant DEC in Austin, Texas, wrote, "When I speak to emergency response team or CERT training classes, I make a short presentation about communications and how it is necessary with some understanding of the need and how to be of service with amateur radio support. At the conclusion of the session, the students can sign up for licensing classes. We now have several amateurs in the CERT ranks. In a recent CERT meeting, a show of hands indicated that 50% of those in attendance were licensed and members of local clubs and Aries. Our CERT classes are normally hosted by the city or county EOC, where the amateur station is also housed. I have been involved with the City of Austin CERT from its inception and help with administration, leadership, and teaching. Other response organizations share needs and should have the same opportunities for learning and participating to be communications prepared. To help in this direction, we are building a cooperative council of organizations in our ARRL South Texas District 7, consisting of 8 counties, to be able to adequately communicate and be stronger together in any situation. The council will operate much like volunteer organizations active in disaster, or VOAD, with the purpose of bringing all organizations to the table regularly to discuss, train, plan, and to be able to work together in time of need. All volunteer groups are invited to be involved, and representatives are encouraged to attend the monthly meeting conducted by teleconferencing. Each organization is encouraged to bring ideas for training and exercises to the table and reports of response activity. Amateurs involved in the participating organizations are encouraged to give and take emergency and disaster response communications training. Thanks, Roger. Dress for public service success. Mark Richards, K1MGY, in Littleton, Massachusetts, suggests, "While visiting this year's ARRL New England Convention in Boxborough, Massachusetts, I was delightfully surprised at the level of care most attendees, and in particular exhibitors, speakers, and volunteers, exercised in their choice of attire. Snazzy uniform shirts worn by vendors were in abundance. Business attire infused the exhibit hall. It was as if I were attending a professional conference. There I met new ARRL CEO Tom Gallagher, NY2RF, whose sharp business attire transmitted an easy-on-the-eyes message, one that clearly respected the first impressions of his constituents. Among the subjects discussed was my contention that our community must take better care to present ourselves as organized professionals when serving in a public service role, most especially in how we look. As a leader of public service teams and an advocate for better leadership, innovation, and national unity in our public service communications role, I make sure every volunteer has the opportunity and support that encourages their personal success. Not only are my teams well-trained and fully integrated into the organization or agency we serve, they also look good. That's because expectations for attire are part of the pre-event preparations. I urge volunteers at some events to be smartly dressed with a clean white shirt and blue uniform pants or equivalent. A volunteer t-shirt is sometimes needed as an added bit of identification and to unify us as members of a larger team. So I request that we wear the supplied volunteer t-shirt in combination with uniform or EMT cargo pants to present a professional appearance. I also caution that we must not be confused with public safety or law enforcement personnel. Professional does not mean that we have license to impersonate, however innocent our first intention. I have first-hand experience to suggest that those who present themselves professionally are invited back for the next event service opportunity. While some of us grumble about how disorganized the organization we are serving may be, we are ultimately responsible for an invitation back to a repeat performance. So what happens when we're not? Some of us lean upon that tired, when all else fails, excuse. When all else fails, you'll call upon us, and you won't care how we look. Well, that's weak, irrelevant, and arrogant. Please throw those rags in the laundry or incinerator and come back civilized. This is not a mud wrestling match. At each public service event I've had the privilege and fun to work as a communications volunteer, the event organizers, public safety personnel, vendors, and participants arrive dressed for the occasion. We are not exempt. If your leadership fails to set a minimum standard, that doesn't mean you can't arrive on time and ready to go with a professional, smart, confidence-inspiring appearance. You'll look good, feel great, and be amazed at how receptive your teammates, the organizers, participants, and the public will be when you dress for public service success. Thank you for your suggestion, Mark. Now, we'll pause again for a station break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 19th, 2016. Now, tips, net protocols for practice. April Moel, WA6OPS in Orange County, California, wrote, "Like many groups, the Hospital Disaster Support Communications System, or HDSCS, holds a weekly net. But the HDSCS net focuses on practicing procedures related to functioning in a real net during an emergency. While we practice taking turns at being net control, members also must copy down check-ins and information given on the net. Sometimes net participants are asked to move to other frequencies identified by tactical reference. This week, after check-ins were taken, members were asked to move to simplex on the output frequency of our primary net repeater. Then the check-ins were roll-called. Not only was this little task a way to make sure members could make the adjustments on their equipment to respond on the output frequency, but it also allowed members to serve as relays when necessary. Should our primary repeater go down in a major emergency, we would maintain a presence on the output frequency of our repeater to listen for not only our members, but for other groups that might need to contact us. Most members made it to the output frequency of the repeater quickly, and then learned what they could hear. Two stations were particularly valuable in their ability to hear stations in the Laguna Niguel area, as well as the southeast part of Orange County. All check-ins were accounted for in the roll call by the net control, with some help from stations that were able to relay for others. It was an instructive exercise that will get repeated. Thanks, April. Finally, we have 3rd Annual Joint Tribal Emergency Management Conference held in ARRL San Joaquin Valley Section. For the third year in a row, Aries Races was a featured part of the largest gathering of tribal disaster preparedness, recovery, hazard mitigation, and homeland security professionals in the country. This annual conference is organized by the National Tribal Emergency Management Council, the NTEMC, and was hosted on September 19th through 23rd, 2016, by the Tachi Yokut tribe at their Santa Rosa Ranchera in Lemoore, California. Two local San Joaquin Valley, or SJV, section groups, the Fresno Aries Races and the Tulare County Aries, pooled resources and set up a special event station with multiple operating positions using voice and data on the lawn adjacent to the conference hotel. Hal Clover, 89HC, SJV Section DEC, wrote, "Many conference attendees stopped by to view the display. Radiograms home were offered, with several being sent via operators at the event. As part of the pre-conference activities on Monday and Tuesday, Larry Taylor, KF6JBG, taught a technician license class. Newly licensed amateurs were Jason Sisko, KM6FKK with the Tachi Yokut tribe, and Scott Mercer, KM6FKL, the security officer with the Tachi Yokut tribe. On Wednesday, following the opening drum by the Tachi Yokut tribe, NTEMC Chairman Richard Bronchot, KG7NRJ, gave the conference welcome address, and NTEMC Executive Director Linda Zambrano, KE7RWG, provided an NTEMC year-in-review summary in the afternoon. Adam Geisler, KJ6YHN of the La Jolla Band of Luis Indians, was one of the panelists at an open discussion forum about FirstNet, that's the First Responder Network Authority. After dinner, the conference attendees were treated to a series of excellent traditional tribal dances, courtesy of the Tachi Yokut Hoops Youth Council traditional dancers. The breakout sessions on Thursday included National Tribal Amateur Radio Association by Nathan Nixon, N7NAN, the Public Safety Programs Director with the Intertribal Council of Arizona. FirstNet's Second Steps, Real-World Applications for Tribal Emergency Response, was co-presented by Rita Mooney, KG5JAT, from the Texas Department of Public Safety, along with Adam Geisler, KJ6YHN. Introduction to Cameo. That's a free suite of software applications used to plan for and respond to chemical emergencies, was also co-presented by Elisa Roper, KM4BUG, the tribal liaison with FEMA Region 4, and Administration for Children and Family Services, IDCM, was co-presented by Wendy Ellis, KK6WQO, the Regional Emergency Management Specialist in FEMA Region 9. Featured on Thursday afternoon was the Tribal Coast to Coast exercise, co-hosted by Mr. Nixon. Simulated emergency messages for an earthquake scenario were sent via amateur radio from the Conference Special Event Station to FEMA Region 2 in New York. On Friday, Suzanne Everson, KI7EGE, the Regional Emergency Management Specialist and Administration for Children and Families, spoke about increasing tribal human services preparedness at one of the breakout sessions. Throughout the week, many tribal members visited the special event station, picked up ARRL literature, and chatted about building a stronger amateur radio presence within their tribes. The success of this conference would not have been possible without the outstanding efforts by the SJV Section Aries Races members. Our thanks go to Steve Aberley, WA7PTM, the Assistant State Races Officer and Tribal Liaison in Washington State, for this article. And that concludes the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 19, 2016. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit us on the web at ARRL.org. You may also find us on Facebook.com by searching for ARRL, or tweet us on your iPhone at @ARRL_Aries. If you have any questions about amateur radio in general or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Or you may give us a toll-free call at 1-888-277-5289. We are always happy to help answer your questions, and you need not be an ARRL member. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland, and I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2016 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved. Thanks for listening, and 73.